Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor.
What are some of the most incredible parts of owning a business?
The most incredible part is the journey of it all. The people you get to meet, the rooms you get to be in. That's hands down the best part is you don't know where it's going to take you, but it's the best ride ever. Get through all the downs because the ups are way better.
Brought to you by Canvas Credit Union.
Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome back to our continued coverage of CUNA's GAC, sponsored by our fine friends at Co-op Financial Services. And in this particular session that we covered, Glenn Sarvati from 154 Advisors facilitated a session on regulating fintechs. And the panelists were Brian Lauer, Lance Noggle, and Chris Odey. And the four of them talked about many things fintech, obviously regulating fintechs. But in this particular clip, they talk about, are fintechs, are they friend or are they foe? So check it out.
My sense over the course of, depending on how far you want to go back, looking at these, that the perception of, friend versus foe, are they looking to eat your lunch or are they looking to collaborate with you? It feels to me like that's changed over time. I'd love to get each of your perspectives on that. Brian, you want to take a crack first of what you've seen about how fintechs, both in reality and in perception, how they really approach the marketplace?
Sure. Thanks, Glenn. So I think it's a really interesting question because when we started out, fintechs were really these applications coming out of Silicon Valley that were trying to essentially disrupt the financial services space in all sorts of ways, sort of copying the ways that that technologies have disrupted other areas. And in many ways, they saw banks and credit unions, financial institutions as sort of the old guard, where they wanted to come in and sort of oust the old guard. And as Chris was saying, eat their lunch in a way, right? But I think what's changed very much so over the last 5 or 6 years is that a lot of these folks that were entering the space thinking they would just be able to step in place and take out these financial institutions are figuring out that the regulatory space to operate in financial services area is way too complicated and way too difficult to work in without working with financial institutions. So in many ways, the fintechs, I think, have started to look at the financial institutions as good back-end partners for what they're trying to do on the front end for consumers. And in many ways, the financial institutions in that same time period have changed their view of fintechs, and in many ways see working with entrepreneurs and innovators in ways to better serve their members. Credit unions are starting to partner with a lot of these fintechs. Like Chris had mentioned, Renify, there are some others out there that are doing similar things that, I think 10 years ago, the folks that started Renify may have come into the space and said, we're going to try and do this on our own. We're going to get venture capital money and we're going to do it all on our own. And then they realized, you know what? It's a much better situation for us to be able to handle the front end aspects of their lending product and let the financial institutions handle the back end aspects of lending. And so it's really become more of a partnership kind of a space, I think, over the last 5 years.
I'm glad to hear you say that. That's definitely the impression that I've gotten. Obviously, you get a lot closer to some of these things, so I'm glad to see that my slightly further outside perception is correct. Lance, as you say, one of your key focuses is to make sure that the playing field stays relatively stable. What's your thought in terms of how that evolution's taken place, the friend versus foe? Have you seen more challenges, or how has that kind of evolved from your standpoint?
Yeah, so from the regulatory standpoint, and I think I might disagree slightly with Brian, is because there's some that we see as direct foes. And some of these, I think what we're seeing is kind of new now, is they're leveraging the National Bank Charter through the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency to try to become national banks. And they're doing this as kind of a way of regulatory arbitrage, is what we have used, a term we used in letters sent to the OCC. And by doing this, they are kind of threading this needle of regulations, where if they get a national bank charter, if they're a lender, it can keep them from having to follow lending laws in 50 states, or if there are a money service business, keep them from having to register as a money service business in 50 states. And when they do this, they're trying to become a limited bank charter what this would mean is a lot of them wouldn't accept deposits, so they wouldn't be regulated by the FDIC. So it kind of puts them in this weird regulatory area where they're partially regulated from the OCC as a national bank. But some of the other regulations that and that come on come from being having deposit or having deposits and deposit insurance from the FDIC don't come into play. And also some of the ownership requirements of also being a bank, a depository institution, that might trigger some Federal Reserve requirements for ownership requirements don't come into play. So what you're seeing is, and there's one that we've been watching closely, and I'll just kind of give it as an example. It's called a figure bank, or that's what it would be called when chartered. And what they propose to do is they want to do lending, payment services, almost everything that that a normal bank would do, except that they're not going to accept FDIC-insured deposits. They're going to accept something that they called deposits from accredited investors or accredited deposits, which has no no meaning in the banking world. Something kind of comes from securities, but they would basically they're going to accept the deposits from high net worth people, they claim, and they're not going to be insured, thereby bypassing FDIC requirements, bypassing some other requirements for lending, such as a Community Reinvestment Act, which credit unions don't doesn't apply to credit unions either, but applies to all banks. So we've been working with the banks, the banking trades. They're concerned about this too. So what it does is it sort of, you know, what's considered a bank, you have all these protections, just like you get from a credit union. Well, now you're going to have these banks that aren't going to have the same protections and same requirements. They're going to be operating in a space a lot of times with venture capital money and with less regulations, which again enables you to offer a product that's less expensive to consumers. And at, you know, first blush, a lot of people are price shopping, and that's what they're going to look at. So, you know, as we sort of have moved through this fintech charter that the OCC has kicked the tires on over the past several years, and one of the messages that we have, you know, if you offer a product, it, no matter who offers it, it needs to be regulated in the same way. If you're offering a lending product, it needs to be regulated, whether it's a fintech company, whether, you know, no matter what type of organization offers it. And initially, when the OCC proposed having a fintech charter in 2017-2018, it sort of looked like this is what was going to happen. But now you see where the fintech companies have sort of have you know, they're creative. That's what they do, right? They and they're trying to leverage the rules, you know, against the other depository institutions and create, you know, a semi-regulated hybrid entity that is operating in a space that no one else is. So something that we've been watching carefully. We contact the OCC over these things. We're looking at litigation in some cases where they're really really stepping on the toes of what our members are doing. So it'll be ever changing. And it's changing almost daily. As you know, we can get off this this presentation, and I can see where SoFi has applied for a bank charter, which we know they're kicking the tires of. So I mean, expect to see a lot of these fintech type companies and the ones that are offering, you know, products to consumers to look at the bank charters. And you'll even see companies like Walmart again. I know that they're kicking the tires, sniffing around, looking at offering a bank again. So, you know, just to circle back, our main concern is that, you know, if these companies are going to come in and compete and offer these financial products, they need to be doing it at the same level playing field that banks and credit unions are doing. And anything less is really hurting our members and hurting consumers because they're not going to have the same level of protection and they won't know it until it's too late.
Well, that's one of the keys. It's just the transparency of exactly what the rules of the game are, too, both for the companies involved as well as the consumers who are consuming the products. You know, these would get really boring if we all had the exact same opinions in lockstep. So I heard enough commonality of opinion, but definitely a little bit of a difference there. Chris, you're in a great tiebreaker role here now. How do you kind of fall between those two perspectives? Friend versus foe, et cetera.
I kind of view it as if a fintech is trying to create a consumer-facing brand, then that's danger, right? It's really as simple as that for me. If the fintech is trying to separate or disintermediate me from my member, now I'm wearing my hat, my South Bay Credit Union Board Chairman hat. If a fintech's trying to stand between me and my member and create a consumer-facing brand, then that's a foe. And there's really no gray area there, right? you hit me, see you later, right? We're done working together. And that's the thing to be careful of, right? Like as I mentioned, SoFi, Walmart, Apple, Google, those are all consumer-facing brands. And creating a consumer-facing brand is one of the most difficult things to do in the retail environment. And that's why I think the fintechs you see that have more success, what's a good one that's having great success, right? Loanify, right? It's an auto lending app that'll help you increase the direct auto loans that you book at your credit union. But it's not marketed directly to the consumer. It's marketed through the credit union, leveraging the credit union's brand in the credit union's app with the credit union's member. And that's where things get powerful, right? The credit unions have the relationship with the member, the 1 year, the 80-year relationship with the member. And leveraging that, your brand with your member in your app is going to be what wins.
Thank you very much for that information, gentlemen, and stay tuned for more coverage of CUNA's GAC here on CU Broadcast.
Brought to you by Canvas Credit Union
and Co-op Financial Services.